All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, brought to you, as always, by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And we're coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Okay, I was right. Harmon and Grady were wrong, but we'll get to that later in our playoff brackets segment. First, we're going to talk about how the Canucks took care of business against those Nashville Predators.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see. I mean, what a nerve-wracking game, right? It felt like a lot of these Game 6, Game 7 elimination games were 0-0 headed into the third period. And at a certain point, you wondered what goaltender or what defensive team was going to blink first in terms of making a critical mistake. And Pia Suter, I mean, how many grade A chances did he have in that game to just consistently show up over and over again at the net front, not only in that game six, but throughout that entire series? So many high danger scoring chances. He was a well-deserved hero there because, again, this is a player that in the regular season, I don't think got enough of the flowers that that he deserved, given how impactful he was up and down the lineup, being able to play wing, being able to play center, his outstanding defensive metrics, just quietly going about his business as a reliable, steady contributor. It's so good to see a player like that rewarded. It's just like when Chris Tanev, for example, when the Canucks beat the Minnesota Wild, he had the game-winning goal. It feels extra special when it's a player like that winning the game, just because a player like that doesn't get the spotlight as much, and they do so many dirty things, so many little things that help contribute to the team's success. It was great to see Suter be the hero there.
Yeah, I was telling you that a big story for me in Game 6 was Archer Shelovs, who, according to Natural Stat Trick, saved over three expected goals against. He pitches the shutout. Big win for Archer Shelovs. It's his crease heading in to tomorrow. Or excuse me, heading into Wednesday against Edmonton heading into the series. It is Archer Shelov's crease, but we're not going to preview the Oilers series too much. I said today we'll focus on how the Canucks took care of business against the Predators. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Bagged Milk of Oilers Nation, regular guest of the show at this point. He's going to join us tomorrow to help us preview. We're going to have a big preview episode where we just focus on the matchup against the Oilers because we thought we'd have to do that today, but we're getting a little extra time. The Canucks getting a little extra time with the series starting on Wednesday. Okay, the thing I was going to say about Suter, and the reason I brought up Shelovs, I wasn't just doing that because I want to talk goaltending immediately, was if Archer Shelovs was expected to let in 3 goals in that game, Pia Suter was expected to score 5.
Like, yeah.
So many chances for Pia Suter, and that was the story of his series, right? So I was really happy for Pia Suter to finally get rewarded, to finally get the monkey off his back, and that line's results were really good in the first round, and you're going to need that in the second round against the Edmonton Oilers, and we're going to dive into the matchups tomorrow. Harm, what do you think of the mustache?
I didn't even notice it, to be totally honest. I'm not going to lie.
You're lying.
Even with the bright lights of the studio, I can see it now that you pointed it out, but they could win the cup next year and you could grow it out for a full year. And I'm still not 100% convinced I'd be able to notice it.
Okay, fine. I'll accept that. That's fine with me. Okay.
Also, on the Suter goal.
Yeah.
I don't think Besser's pass gets enough credit. What a high-end play. Behind the net, no look, spinning. We talk about Brock Besser's goal scoring and how smart he is, how much he's improved defensively. For him to set up a chance like that, the type of play that you expect from an elite playmaker, that was outstanding. Plus Elias Pettersson, nice to see him winning the battle to help the Canucks keep the puck alive behind the net in the offensive zone, especially because through the first 4 games of the series, and then even at times in game 6, it felt like there were battles where you looked at him and went, I'd like to see him a bit stronger on the puck. I'd like to see him a bit more assertive. That's an example of what happens when he's assertive on the puck. And also an example of because Miller on the previous shift was trapped out there. So Pettersson got a chance to play with some better wingers. He himself makes a better play. And then it immediately translates to an assist because he's got line mates that can make the next play and finish.
That's a really good point because you said Besser didn't get enough credit. I thought Pettersson didn't get enough credit. Like you just said, the chip along the wall, he does a great job to keep that play alive. Chris Higgins had the breakdown of the play. He broke down the fact that Lozon was going to come in and Pettersson was anticipating a hit. So Pettersson sidesteps him, chips the puck around. A really high IQ play. And Harmon, dare I say it, the kind of play that you were waiting for all series long and you want to see in the next series. You want to see way more of that from Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I still don't think, even as we discuss how he played better in Game 5 and had that moment in the third period in Game 6, I still think there's a lot of room for him to improve as a dynamic play driver, creating chances for others, winding up through the neutral zone and looking dangerous off the rush even, and of course his finishing, right? When he's at his best, Pettersson is surgical, he's clinical, it feels like he is so precise, and we're still, I think, waiting for that version of him to emerge. But absolutely, you hope that the improvement we saw in games 5 and 6 can be a launching pad for him. Because look, if the Canucks get Pettersson back at a superstar level, let's not forget that heading into the All-Star break, and this kind of shocked me because he's looked off for a couple of months now, but heading into the All-Star break, he was pacing at a 47 goal, 107 point pace. Like when he's on, he can take games over. And I think we forget that a little bit just because of the recency bias. I mean, it certainly feels like it's been a while since I've seen what it looks like. And yet prior to the All-Star break, you're talking about a guy that was on pace for nearly 50 goals and nearly 110 points.
Yeah. I was on Oilers Nation every day today, and he's my number one X factor in the series. And the series against Edmonton just has so many ifs. That's going to be the theme of tomorrow's show, is that there's so many ifs. And I think for Nashville, there were a lot of ifs heading into this series. I almost feel like the roles have flipped. I feel like heading into this series, the Vancouver Canucks should have won against Nashville, But for Nashville, there were a lot of ifs. Those ifs didn't happen. One big if for Nashville in this series. Could UC Saros steal you games? Could UC Saros be the best goaltender in the series? UC Saros was the fourth best goalie in the series. I'm kidding to some extent, but yeah. You understand what I'm saying. Yeah. UC Saros wasn't that, okay, this guy is going to win us this series. UC Saros wasn't that for Nashville. Another big if. Could your top line come out and just win their matchups routinely on a nightly basis? There was talk of Philip Forsberg, how invisible he was in that series. That didn't happen for Nashville. Now I feel like it's flipped for Vancouver, where they head into this series against the Oilers, and the Oilers are in a position where everybody's picking them to win the series, and the Oilers think they should win this series, and then the Canucks come in, and they're going to obviously think they can win the series, but also, if we're looking from it an analyzing point of view, if this goes right, then the Canucks can win the series. And again, we're going to do a big preview tomorrow, so we'll dive into each one, but the ones that come off the top of my head, Elias Pettersson's among the biggest. Their forward depth looks so much better than Edmonton's. If Elias Pettersson's on their third line and producing, it looks better. Edmonton has more top-end talent, for sure, but if the Canucks' third line with Pettersson on it can come through, then that's a difference maker.
And that's a massive if, because if he doesn't come through, then...
Which he hasn't since December.
Then Nashville's forward depth, which we all looked at as very mediocre, right? That was pitted as one of the biggest advantages Vancouver had. It didn't really materialize in the series.
That's a good point. Exactly.
Right? So it could swing both ways, where there's a scenario where Vancouver's forward depth could have the edge over Edmonton, but there's also a scenario where, I mean, how often were we talking in the lead-ups to games five and six, how the Canucks just couldn't produce offense without the JT Miller line on the ice?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a scenario where they're just as top-heavy as Edmonton, too. So you're right, there's a lot of potential volatility there.
Yeah. This is going to be an interesting series. I think it's going to be high-scoring, and I think it's going to be a really, really interesting one to get to. And then we're going to do a big... big preview tomorrow, so I'm trying my best not to talk about it.
I don't think the Canucks will want it to be a high-scoring series.
I think you were correct about that. I think that's another way that the Preds and Canucks have now flipped roles. Well, I guess the Preds are golfing, but you know what I mean? Like, the Canucks find themselves in the position that the Preds were in, where the Preds obviously didn't want that to be a high-scoring series.
Well, I actually think the Canucks in that Nashville series were comfortable in a low-scoring series, just because they're better defensively at this point than they are offensively. Yep. I don't think that's a hot take.
No, but Nashville was playing to win a round, and I think that was very clear. Like, Nashville was blocking everything they could. They were collapsing to the middle. Edmonton's not going to do that. Edmonton blocked a lot of shots, and yes, they collapsed on LA. It's going to be a very different series, I think, from a stylistic standpoint.
It will be, for sure. But I'm just saying, from the perspective of when you look at how Nashville was so successful down the stretch, it's because they were lighting things up offensively. And from that perspective, the first round matchup, put it this way, the Canucks limited Nashville to 2 goals per game as an average. That's a massive win. A low event series, I think, actually played to Vancouver's advantage, because if it would have been a more wide open track meet in round one against Nashville, that is how Nashville had success in the second half of the regular season. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think low event is how the Canucks are comfortable playing.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting series. It's going to be an interesting series against those Oilers. Anything else from the Preds series? I thought we'd be able to milk this for longer.
I mean, Shelovs. I still think we need to give him a ton of due there, because Saros was spectacular in game six. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I mean, how many high-danger chances did he have to save before Suter finally came through? And none of it would have mattered if Shelovs didn't hold up his end of the bargain. I mean, imagine telling somebody in October that in round one of the playoffs, Artur Shelovs is going to outduel UC Saros to clinch the Canucks a playoff series victory. Like, no one would have believed you.
Yep. I would have. Artur Shelovs.
X Factor?
There you go, Grady. X Factor. Artur Shelovs is a world champion goalie. Let's not forget that. Well, he played in the World Championship. Didn't win, but he got a bronze medal. He's a medalist.
And tournament MVP.
Tournament MVP.
Beat Casey DeSmith for that bronze medal.
Beat Casey DeSmith for the starters job in Vancouver, too, in the playoffs. I don't know what else I can say about Archer Shelobs. I've been saying it for a while. Rebound control was phenomenal. Positioning was very, very good. I don't think I can come here and poke a hole in Archer Shelobs' game. I think he's getting hot at the right time. Archer Zibe said last year that Shelobs was going to win them a cup. Hard to disagree right now, Harm.
Hard to disagree.
Hard to disagree. With that, do you want to get to our playoff brackets now?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Let's get to our playoff brackets. Oh, before I do that, I'm going to tell you about one of our sponsors, and that is our friends over at Four Winds Brewing. We talk a lot about the Four Winds Light because of the Four Winds Light the Lamp contest, but this brewery is known for a heck of a lot more than just a light lager. Four Winds also has a nice, robust lineup of IPAs. Whether you're into something nice and light but packed full of flavor in their 4.5% Featherweight IPA, or something a little more funky, fruity, and juicy in their World Beer Cup winning Juxtapose IPA, Four Winds has something hoppy to quench your thirst. Head to the Four Winds website to see their full lineup of IPAs and have them delivered right to your door at fourwindsbrewing.ca, locally owned and operated in Delta. Okay. We're going to look at our brackets, our round one brackets, and then we also have our round two brackets. And this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home Wendy's rewards is eat. Just download the Wendy's app, place your favorite order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, we mean free food, obviously. And hey, while you're racking up rewards points and eating your way through the menu, you'll also find plenty of deals along the way to keep morale high. So what are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today and start earning on every order. All right, Grady, pull up the playoff brackets. I was right. You guys were wrong. Both of you, actually. 8 for 8. I went 8 for 8. And I had the correct number of games in 6 of 8 of my picks.
Well done.
We've never seen a run like this. Ever. Grady, can you pull up you and Harmon's? Do you guys have anything to say for yourselves?
Well, got 68 right, so that's not too shabby. And I said well in advance that 75%. The two series that I didn't have a firm grasp on were Winnipeg, Colorado, and Toronto, Boston. I'm not ashamed at all about losing two coin flips there.
You plus, should be, though.
Plus, if I knew William Nylander was going to miss the start of the series, I would have never picked Toronto.
I told you this earlier.
And Austin Matthews.
If you're picking Toronto, you're running the risk of a player saying, ah, you know what? I got a headache today.
Nah, man. Nylander has barely missed. Nylander's actually a playoff dog.
Yeah, no, he was good in the series, too. He was good in the series,
too. He's like, and if you're then putting it, like, if Nylander misses time, Matthews misses time, then all of your eggs are in the Mitch Marner, John Tavares bucket. Like, I never bought stock in those two players anyway. Like, the series is over at that point. So I was screwed the moment Nylander and Matthews got compromised.
Yeah, fair enough.
What he said for me.
That commercial? Awesome Matthews. Awesome. Oh, man, imagine being a Leafs fan watching your team choke away another series and every commercial break, it's Austin Matthews. You're not even playing?
I got to say, by the way,
just stop making songs. Just quit it with the songs. No more songs.
That's a Selke finalist to you, Austin Matthews, there, yeah. Quads.
Well, yeah.
Nobody asked him about that award today or yesterday?
Why would they? Honestly,
you imagine?
Rare kudos to Austin, the assembled Toronto media for not asking about that.
I know the focus is on your round one loss, but what does it mean to be a Selke finalist?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you know, it's great. Team, no.
Oh, that was great.
But also, I'm curious how many, if people are chiming in the chat, how many people were hoping for, like, what scenario did they want more? The Bruins to choke a 3-1 series lead or the Leafs to lose in round one? Because the Canucks fans that I spoke to, a few of my friends, actually wanted Boston to lose. They wanted to see Marchand cry.
I ran a poll on my Twitter asking Canucks fans who they're cheering for, bracket around cheering. It was 50-50 split on like 400 votes.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In the end, I was Boston. I wanted to see Boston win.
Well, yeah, you picked them. Makes sense.
Well, there was that. Yeah.
I bet Boston to win yesterday on 365, but I had Toronto.
Attaboy. Yeah, so...
Did you see, by the way, Dom had this crazy, like,
yeah, I did see
six
that.
Or seven series, yeah. Parlay.
No,
that would have, it was like $100 would have been to 3,800.
Couple thousand, yeah.
3,800, actually.
Yeah.
And he lost just because the Leafs lost in game 7.
Oh,
he had everything
poor
else right.
Dom.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best news I've heard all day.
Canucks fans feel so bad for Dom right there.
That's such good news. That's great. Because he bet with his heart. Fitting. He's quite, isn't he quite openly a Leafs fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell are you
thinking?
Needed
to do an emotional hedge bet.
That was a dumb bet. Dude, so if I made all the picks, if I had put a parlay down, I would have gone 8-for-8 to win series.
Should have done it then.
I should have done it. I might do it for this next round because, like the first round, I was correct about everything. Let's go over the first round brackets here. All of us picked Vancouver over Nashville. I had Vancouver in 5. You guys both 7?
Six. I had 6.
6? So you guys got that right.
Yep. Yep.
Down to the game. There you go. There's a nice consolation prize for you two. Edmonton, LA. I had Edmonton in 5. What did you guys have?
Edmonton 6.
I think I had them in 5.
Okay, pull up your brackets. Pull up your brackets.
Give us a sec. Here.
Give you a sec. Pull up your own brackets. Just, they're in the emails. I'll keep going over mine. We don't need to say what you guys. Well, we all picked Dallas. The disagreement we had was Colorado, Winnipeg. I picked Colorado in 5. How many games did that go to?
6.
Oh, it went to 5?
Yeah. Nailed it.
Nailed that.
Well done.
Nice. And we'll get to it in anyone else, but Rick Bonus retiring today. We'll talk about that. Some other former Canuck coaching news as well. New York, Washington. Didn't we all pick a sweep there?
I didn't pick a sweep. I picked 5, I think.
Okay. I had a sweep.
I had a sweep.
Okay. Carolina, New York. I think I also had a sweep.
I had them in 5.
I had Canes in 6.
There you go. Okay. Florida, Tampa. I had Tampa. I had Florida in 5. Or no, I picked sweep for that too. I think I called 3 or 4 sweeps.
I had Florida in 6, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Nice. Okay, and that one ended in 5. Boston, Toronto. Boston, Toronto. I had Boston in 7.
I thought you had him in 5.
No, I had him in 3. And then I had him in 4. And I think on the actual bracket, I think I might have put 5. You're right. Yeah.
You had Boston 7.
Yes. Okay. Okay. That's right. Okay.
Harm and I were 1 goal away. 1 goal away.
Eh, whatever. It's always that close to the Leafs.
You sound like the actual Toronto Maple Leafs. Like in their exit interviews. That's what you guys sound like right now.
A lot of respect in the handshake line.
We were 1 goal away.
Did you hear, by the way, Jim Montgomery said that before game 7, he got advice from Mike Babcock and John Cooper.
I did
Mike
see
Babcock.
That. Yes. Yes, I did see that.
Are we going to refer to ourselves as gods here like Mitch Marner did or no? Okay.
That
was wild,
Mitch
too.
Marner just can't stay out of his own way. Like he can't stay out of his own way.
What do you think happens there, Armin Quads? Because he's got a no move clause, but I could see him waving that to get out of the pressure cooker.
He's asked to waive it, and if he says no, you leak it to every insider in 100%. The market that Mitch Marner was asked to waive his
I'm
no move.
I'm bullying him into moving his no move clause.
I don't even think you have to. I think the fan base has done it for you now.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think if you go, hey Mitch, we don't know about the fit. We'd like you to waive your no move, and he says no. Okay, 5 minutes later, Elliot Friedman tweets it. Everybody's tweeting it. Everybody's talking about it. You could do that today and have this absolute storm just hitting Mitch Marner. Did you see him today? Oh, I'd like to sign an extension here. That's great. Yeah. You know, I'd really like to sign a lifetime extension with Canucks Army. I'd like them to take care of me for the rest of my life. I'd like guaranteed money for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Will your dad be messaging the Nation Network company like Paul Marner does whenever his son has any criticism thrown his way? No?
Okay.
Oh, man.
But see, the problem with Toronto is they needed to do this after they lost to Montreal and at the very least last summer. Because now they've packed themselves into a corner. They didn't have to deal with this no move clause beforehand.
Who was it? I think it was JD Burke, friend of the show, tweeted out that Brad Treliving is just Jim Benning with good PR.
Treliving going to sign some former Canucks now.
I was just looking at it. No disrespect to Brad Treliving. Well, I guess some disrespect to Brad Treliving. But like, what the hell's he done? Like, orchestrated the Calgary Flames?
Well, they at least had more snot.
Yeah.
Give him that.
And sure. Right? Sure.
I was sarcastic, by the way.
He's better than Dubas.
No, I'd rather take Kyle Dubas than Brad Treliving.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Dude, look at the blue line Treliving iced. Signed John Klingberg. They got bailed out by him going on LTIR. Otherwise, they would have had another anchor on the blue line.
You know, as somebody else, I was calling for the Canucks to sign John Klingberg at the time.
Oh, whoops.
You don't like Joel Edmondson? Come on.
Yeah, they needed veteran some sandpaper. Presence. They needed some sandpaper. And how good was Ryan Reeves in the playoffs?
That Leafs blue line could not break the puck out against the forecheck of me and you.
Well, we skate hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always thought things went south when they signed Tavares to that extension all those years back when they had Kadri perfectly situated in a 2C role. Now, Kadri went and took some pretty stupid penalties and suspensions that resulted in suspensions in the playoffs. But, you know, committing all that money to four forwards when your team weakness was defense, it just seemed like such an overkill to go so deep down center when you kind of shorted the rest of your roster in terms of depth.
The funny thing is they have all this money invested into forwards and they can't score.
Yeah.
That's their biggest problem.
You saw that Gordon Miller tweet, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't want to do that. Well, where do the Leafs go from here? Because I put this in every group chat I'm in today. All the Toronto media right now, gotta dismantle this roster. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. 2 days from now, if they haven't done it already, I haven't been following along.
And don't forget, there's extensions, raises for Marner. Yeah. Matthews and Nylander.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. They haven't done it already. From what I can see, they haven't done it yet. Management, somehow it's going to come out that they're planning on bringing the band back together. We got to run it back. And then all the media that are right now saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. They'd be like, here's my column on why it was a good idea for them to bring the core back again. It's going to happen for like the fourth year.
That's what I've wondered in the back of my mind is, are they going to explore it and then realize, oh, Mitch has got a no move. This is too difficult to navigate, or the trade offers are crap because he's a winger that disappears in the playoffs who makes nearly $11 million. So there isn't the market for him that we thought. Are they going to look at that? And then Tavares doesn't want to waive. And then obviously you're not dealing Matthews or Nylander because you just signed them to extensions. And then they circle back and go, well, we're bringing the band back.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same damn thing over and over again. How many more playoff years do they need to realize that this mix ain't it?
I'm going to say three more. Well, I mean, when's Tavares' contract up? After this year?
This year, yeah.
Him and Marner.
That's the thing. What are you getting for Mitch Marner right now in a trade?
I don't know, man.
I also think this idea...
You're probably losing that trade.
Yeah, and I think you have to. On paper. I think you have to. You have to.
You'd rather have the cap space.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've hit our Leaf quota.
Yeah, we have.
Leafs conversation, according to sports philosopher.
Well, it's okay if we're ripping on them.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anything else from the brackets other than me being right about everything? Oh, yeah. Our round two picks.
I guess. Yeah. Next round.
Did we all had the exact same picks.
Oh, we did?
Oh, except you went Edmonton. Grady and I went Canucks because we're giant homers. I have Canucks in 7. So does Grady. You have Edmonton in 6.
Yeah, I think it's winnable from Vancouver's perspective, and we'll dive into it tomorrow. I'll also say that I think, for example, like Dom's model gave Vancouver 26% chance. I think that's underrating Vancouver's odds. I think the betting odds implied probability was 31% chance for Vancouver. I think that's underrating them as well. I think it's closer to, like, I'd give the Canucks like a 40% chance of winning. I think it'll be a legitimately competitive series, but I think Edmonton is the better team on paper, if I'm being honest and objective.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Objective.
Look at you. Yeah, what is
look,
that?
I hope I'm wrong. Is this
objective conversation, Harm?
I hope I'm wrong.
At least really they didn't drop a wee bomb on us.
Did you catch this? TransLink is changing it to Go Canucks Go.
Yeah.
Cyberbullying works.
Time.
No, that's a joke. To be clear, that's a joke. That's very, very much so a joke. But yeah, TransLink is changing it to Go Canucks Go instead of Go Team Go. I like that they were waiting for the second round. It felt like TransLink's stance on the Canucks was like the city's stance on the Canucks. I know a lot of people. I'm not going to name them. I know a lot of people in my everyday life that were like, oh, the Canucks are in the playoffs. That's sweet. Let's see them get out of the first round. And then once they did, like, I know four people off the top of my head that all bought the Sportsnet Plus package just to start watching the Canucks playoff series.
Yeah, people that aren't even hockey fans in Vancouver are starting to watch this team now. It's actually kind of uncanny. Like,
it's funny how no one believed in them, because now TransLink's on board. Ken Sim might be on board. Do you see that? He's talking about maybe a playoff viewing party a week after. He's like, we have to be responsible. I have a good Ken Sim impression.
That was really good.
Continue. What were you going to say? Sorry.
I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Might have been the Ken Sim impression.
I don't think I was in the middle of a train of thought.
Perfect.
I think.
KQ in the chat. Is Demko back? No, Demko is ruled out for round one and all we're, excuse me, ruled out for game one. And all we're hearing from the insiders, just from everything we're hearing, it sure sounds like he's not going to be back in this round at all, even if it goes six or seven. There's some wonder if he'd be able to make it. He was on the ice last week in Nashville. He'll continue to skate. He was not on the ice today when the Canucks practiced out at UBC, although he might have been out before. He wasn't part of main practice.
He was out.
He had
his gear on. Good. And I'm expecting he wasn't on the ice, but
before or after they go out with the
expecting that he was going to go on the ice after. So
totally. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I wonder, just talking on my rear here. I wonder if there's any sense from Demko and the team being like, hey, let's take our time here. If we get to the Western Conference final, we'll go from there. Shelovs has played well enough. We don't need to rush you back. And I'm not coming out and saying they're like, well, Shelovs is as good as you, so we're just going to go with him. But I wonder if there's any less, a little bit less urgency with you when you see what Shelovs was able to do against Nashville.
Absolutely. You don't want to compromise Demko's long-term health, especially because, look, it might change in the Edmonton series, but Shelovs is absolutely rolling. And put it this way, if game one, if Demko hypothetically, he won't be, but if he hypothetically was available for game one, you're probably starting Shelovs anyway. You're riding the hot hand, after the guy has a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a rush as of now. And again, you don't want to compromise his long-term health.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He deserves the crease, right? And again, there's no discussion at this point about if Casey DeSmith should get back in the Vancouver goal crease. That's not a discussion anymore. Irfan Gafar, for those wondering, Irfan Gafar does owe me a meal. I think we're just going to do lunch, but you weren't here for that. Irf thought it was wild that I was suggesting they should go to Shelovs instead of DeSmith for game five. And I stood my ground pretty hard. And he's like, why are you standing your ground? And I was like, I don't know. Vibes, baby. And I was right. And now Shelovs is going to win the Conn Smythe. Should we get to our... actually, I don't have it yet. I wonder if you can do that on Bet365. If you can put down a Archer Shelovs for the Conn Smythe.
You might have to message them and request it. Because they do take player requests for that type of stuff.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I got it. Brock Besser's on there. Calvin Pickard. Archer Shelovs. Archer Shelovs is on there. Oh my goodness.
What are the odds?
Oh my goodness. Hold on. I have to log in.
Oh.
Let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day, brought to you by our friends over at Bet365, a proud partner of Canucks Conversation. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Be sure to use code VANBONUS when you sign up for an account. Okay, here we go. I can find this again. I know I can find it again. I just had it and it went away. No, wait, why did it go away? Oh, there it is. I have to switch to... Here we go. Okay, here it is. So, number one, Connor McDavid at plus 600. Okay, Matthew Tkachuk at plus 1200. Nathan McKinnon's also there. Igor Shesterkin, Sergei Bobrovsky at plus 1600. You've got those guys. Where's the first Canuck? You'd assume it'd be Quinn Hughes, right? Yeah, Quinn Hughes is the first Canuck listed at plus 4000. Elias Pettersson at plus 5000. JT Miller at plus 5000. Brock Besser at plus 8000. And the next Canuck listed, Artur Shelov's at plus 15,000 odds to win the Conn Smythe. Better odds than Casey DeSmith.
Hammer it.
Hammer it while you can, folks. If you choose to play, please play responsibly. You must be 19 plus to play. It's up to you if you want to put that bet down. But hey, Artur Shelov's at plus 15,000, pretty high value bet. If the Canucks are going to get it done, they're probably going to get it done with Artur Shelov's, right?
Yeah, I mean, although if you get to the point of the conference final and Stanley Cup final potentially, then Demko at some point may be ready and may steal the net back at some point.
JT Miller at plus 5,000. Did I have that correct?
Yep.
That's pretty good. I would look at that probably more than any of them.
More than Shelov's. There's value. There's value in Shelov's. Okay. Let's get to anyone else brought to you by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the net. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are giving away a record 33 giveaways this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Canadians are back at the Nat on Tuesday, May 7th. Folks, that's tomorrow. We're getting some good weather, and you're going to want to get out to the Nat because it's a full homestand that includes a superstar appearance for Marco Estrada on the 7th, a nooner at the Nat on the 10th, and a Family Fun Sunday on the 12th where kids 12 and under can run the bases. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. You seen this weather we're getting this week? Get out to the Nat, folks. It's going to be... What do we got here? Oh, man, it's warmer in Coquitlam, Maple Ridge. It's warmer out there. 23 degrees, high of 23 on Thursday. Tomorrow is a great day, not a cloud in the sky. You got 15 degrees high, 17 on Wednesday, 24 on Friday, 23 on Saturday. I'm just reading you the high temperatures. I love when the weather gets like this. It's the best.
You're a great weatherman.
Who are the Seas playing? Oh, my gosh. The homestand against the Aqua Sox. The Aqua Sox. Seattle Mariners farm team.
Okay.
Is Harry Ford with them right now, Harmon? That's the golden question that everybody's wondering. Is Colt Emerson with them right now? Can you go see some really top, real top prospects if you go down to Nat Bailey right now? Okay, no. Harry Ford's in AA. You think Colt Emerson's there yet? Can you name any other I guess you couldn't even name those two, but Colt Emerson's not with them yet, but great prospects on both sides. Man, that kid, what was his name? I got to figure it out. The kid on Vancouver, the Canadians have some solid players right now on their roster. And they always do. Like, that's the thing. This kind of went unnoticed by some people. But, also, Sunday, May 12th, that Family Fun Sunday is a Mother's Day travel mug giveaway. It's beautiful. It's a purple mug that says number one baseball mom. Man, I should have got that for my mom. My mom loved the fact that she was a baseball mom. That's a great giveaway. Sunday, May 12th, get your tickets, CanadiansBaseball.com. Let's not go through the prospects. Let's focus on hot dogs. Okay. Okay, let's get to anyone else. MVP of the series, Harm. It's being discussed in the chat right now. Someone said Pia Suter, most valuable puce. It was a joke. Okay. Most valuable puce. Brock Besser was definitely the MVP, says Captain Canuck. The goals... winning goal to close out the series. That pass was ridiculous. You've given him his flowers for that already.
I lean towards Brock, but I won't fault anyone if you go JT or Shelov's even.
I don't know if Nikita Zadorov was MVP, but he was very valuable.
Just excellent.
KVP, kind of valuable player.
Deserves better than that.
AVP, a valuable player.
Extremely valuable player.
Extremely valuable, but not the most.
The Canucks penalty kill.
Oh, yeah. There's an MVP. They were really good, and they're going to need to be really good in round two. Edmonton is just humming right now on the power play. And like, that's the thing. The Kings' penalty kill was the second best in the league, and Edmonton did that to them.
Yeah, nearly 50% on power play. And here's the other
That's also
part.
Goaltending, though. You put Arthur Shelovs in LA's...
LA's probably going to the second best penalty kill in the NHL.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
Yeah, that's true.
And their penalty kill was actually perfect, Edmonton's. 100%.
Yeah, it was. They had the best special teams of any team. Okay. I don't want to do a series preview. Let's focus on this one thing, though. We'll talk about it tomorrow. How confident are you in the special teams battle between the Canucks and the Oilers?
Not confident. That's their biggest weakness, I think.
For the Canucks?
Yeah. 5-on-5, I think the Canucks can hang. Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say, too, tomorrow, is the head-to-head matchup numbers between JT Miller and Connor McDavid. JT Miller hasn't fed him his lunch by any means, but like it's been close. JT Miller's done a really good job. JT Miller is going to be hard matched against Connor McDavid. I expect them to find results with that at even strength.
Yeah, at evens, you can muck it up. I mean, even in that Edmonton-LA series, the goals were 12-12 at 5-5. It's special teams where Edmonton just nukes you.
Yeah.
So 5-on-5, absolutely the Canucks can hang. And this is where one of the big takes I have for tomorrow. Should I say it? Should I say it or should I say
tease it?
Tease it. Yes, exactly.
It. Let's just say it has to do with the factor outside of both Edmonton and Vancouver's control.
Oh, if I'm going to cheer loud enough from the press box?
Yes, it's exactly that. Yeah. Yeah.
Wear
you better have your towel ready.
Yeah, wear your Canucks Army playoff shirt. Rip it off.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the big X factor.
I would walk down to the dressing room for player avails. Your suit's off. You're like high fiving everyone.
But no, I'll save that take for tomorrow.
Okay. Mike Lavely, LA was too slow for Edmonton. Average roster age of the Kings is like 32. Ours is 25. Average roster age aside, the Canucks are a faster team than LA. They're going to be able to attack with speed through the neutral zone and on zone entries. And that's one of Edmonton's biggest weaknesses at 5-on-5. It's one the Canucks have been able to exploit all year long and even in recent years. Like, Darnell Nurse doesn't know what gap control is. Like, I just said it. He's listening to the show and he's like, what the hell is the guy talking about?
Yeah. I'll say this, though. The Canucks aren't a team that creates a lot of zone entries in terms of rush offense. They are faster than LA, but I think that makes an impact more on the forecheck, which is going to be critical. But put it this way, the Canucks will create off the rush only if Edmonton makes self-inflicted mistakes.
Yes,
which happened in the regular season series. Yes. But the thing you have to keep in mind is, those three games were before Knobloch came in, right? And the Canucks should know better than any other team the difference that a coach can have. They were way better defensively under Knobloch.
There's another thing. I think Knobloch got robbed of a Jack Adams
Yeah, I was
nominee.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. The hell did Andrew Brunette do?
Brunette? Who was the other one besides Tocchet?
Bones?
Yeah, Rick Bonus, yeah.
Yeah, Bonus was... Yeah,
I thought Bonus and Brunette could have been bumped out for Knobloch, and then whichever one you didn't bump out could be the third guy. Just fine.
The argument I saw against Knobloch was because he didn't coach the full season.
And also, I guess the Oilers were expected to be pretty good heading into the season anyway. You know who probably deserves a little bit of credit? Not that I think he was robbed, but Spencer Carberry.
Oh, yeah.
To take that roster and somehow finagle it into the playoffs.
Yep.
That deserves some love.
It does.
I thought Quads would go goalie guy.
Irf is fist bumping in the back when you heard me giving Carberry some love.
Yeah, no, I'm not going Patrick Waugh. I'm not a fan of Patrick Waugh. I'll just leave it at that. Not a fan of Patrick Waugh. Okay. VinXD, are there any line changes the Canucks should make for this series? Maybe something with the Pettersson line. Harmon, the thought at least entered my mind when I talked about it earlier, how Pettersson was great on that final goal of the series, how he battled. And as you said, the puck finally got to some players that could actually finish a play and it ended up in the back of the net. Pettersson was instrumental to that. The thought entered my mind of who else can Pettersson play with? Because Hoglander and Mikheyev aren't getting it done right now.
Yeah, one thing that I've wrestled with recently is, and part of it starts with, are you sure you're going to go Miller against the McDavid line at home? Because if you're committed to that, then it allows you to potentially break up that Lindholm line. And what if you just swap Pettersson and Lindholm's wingers?
Yep.
Which, poor Elias Lindholm.
Yep.
Right? Tough for him, but you give Pettersson, Joshua, and Garland, give him some play drivers, guys who can make plays, finish plays. Like, put it this way, if Pettersson consistently wins battles like that along the boards, Joshua and Garland can also connect on the type of play that Besser and Suter scored on.
Yeah.
And that could get the line going. So I'd consider that. I'm not sure if I'd go to it as a game one lineup, yeah. But if Pettersson is flat out of the gate, I'm giving him Joshua and Garland and bumping Hoglander and Mikheyev down to play with Lindholm.
And then that's the line you're putting up against Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins.
They're on the same Pettersson line.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Some breaking news. Rob Blake expected to remain the GM of the LA Kings. No plans to buy out Pierre-Luc Dubois, who unfortunately has decided to represent Canada at the Worlds. That's too bad. They won gold last year. So they're not going to get a medal. They're going to fire the coach. Too cold. Where is it being held this year? I'm sure it's too cold. Where is the IIHF World Championships this year?
I don't know.
It's funny. I check you. Way too cold. Way too cold. Yeah, Pierre-Luc Dubois is not going to be at home there. Okay. Yeah, so no buyout for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Good news for the rest of the league. Bad news for the Kings. And Rob Blake stays in as GM. Any surprise there? Other than the Dubois thing?
Well, if you're keeping Blake, he's not going to buy his own biggest bet on.
Oh, so they made the mistake in keeping Blake is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of cracks at it. And to make a blunder that massive, I'm surprised he's kept his job. I'm really surprised he's kept his job.
Who owns the LA Kings? Do they watch hockey?
Isn't it the
Philip
AEG group?
Philip and Schutz built fortunes in oil, railroads, telecom, real estate. He doesn't give a crap about the Kings.
I've heard good things about LA's ownership group.
Hands off.
Hands off and let GMs do their thing. I probably disagree with letting Blake continue here, but that's a good ownership group.
It's because you watch the games, Harm. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, they don't buy him out. Big surprise there.
It's not a huge surprise.
Nope, but it's the nail
in
the coffin.
And part of it was also going to come down to what day the Stanley Cup was awarded, because his birthday is such that they would have needed the series to end pretty quickly. Otherwise, the 1/3 buyout rule that we spoke about would have become 2/3. And at that point, the buyout doesn't make sense.
Wow. He's only 25. That's crazy. Yeah, turning 26. I don't want to say I hope he has a bad birthday.
Did you? Oh my, where are you going with this?
Okay. Yeah, the chat is not a fan of Pierre-Luc Dubois either. Okay. Anyways.
They're going to give him another chance to show that he can be that center they acquired.
Totally. How many more coaches will it take is the real question. Okay. We talked about the line changes. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Travis Green. Travis Green got hired as the head coach of the Ottawa Senators. Happy for Travis.
Yeah.
Like, Travis was always very nice to me. I really like Travis Green.
I'm biased. I like him. He's nice to us.
Yeah. He was a great, great dude.
I am surprised that he got the Ottawa gig, though. I think the biggest challenge for Travis is going to be, hopefully he's learned from the end of his tenure with the Canucks, because he took the Canucks from the absolute rock bottom when they had basically no young talent. Mm-hmm. And he did a fairly good job of making sure that Pettersson, Hughes,
found instant success,
yes,
that Besser evolved, right? How much did Besser improve as a two-way player? Yeah. How much did he improve as a net front scorer, not just a perimeter sniper? But ultimately, taking the Canucks from a young, talented, promising team, taking them from that potential to, okay, we're actually a consistent playoff team, that was where he couldn't take that next step.
Totally.
That's where Ottawa is right now.
Yep.
So hopefully he's learned from the end of his Canucks tenure, because that's the crossroads that that Ottawa is at right now.
Yeah, and can he help those other guys take a step forward in their game? It's a young team. It's a young team that just seems like it's just had a complete lack of direction for a while now.
Doesn't really know how to defend.
Yeah.
Lack of structure. Again, a lot of parallels to Vancouver.
That's the thing, though, is I always had the opinion that Travis wasn't going out there. It wasn't like Bruce, where he came in and said, okay, we're going to play this super offense style. Like, Travis recognized that his roster wasn't good enough to play that kind of style. Ultimately, it cost him his job, but he tried to get them to commit to playing that defense first hockey.
In 2021-22, the final year before he got fired, the Canucks did actually improve a ton defensively,
yes,
but they couldn't manufacture offense. And I don't think he had nearly the same level of buy-in that Rick Tocchet got.
And also,
part of it was like the players had to mature. And if you don't get the buy-in, like, you're just not going to get the results.
And he should get that buy-in in Ottawa. Like, he should, right?
Those guys should be sick of losing.
They should be.
It's got some young talent to work with.
You know another player I don't like? Tim Stützle. Not as much as Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Diver.
Yeah. He does have a history of embellishing.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's the main reason.
Really good player, though.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Gnar, can't wait till we beat Ottawa and Trav calls us a really good team.
That's a good team. See you over there. Oh, man. Okay, people are asking about the broadcast for this. It was announced earlier today. Chris Cuthbert and Craig Simpson, the top broadcast team for Sportsnet, are going to get that series. People are asking if there's going to be different crews, who would be where. John Shorthouse, from what I gather, from what I saw today from Sportsnet, he's done for the year. Brian Bartlett is getting the Rangers-Hurricane series.
I haven't checked the...
Okay. Florida-Boston. I was wondering if Shorty would get Florida-Boston again, because he got it last year with,
that's right,
with John
Cheek.
Garrett, right? Yeah, I was wondering if they'd put him on it again.
I saw him at the rink today. He didn't mention anything about continuing playoffs. So.
Yeah. Anyways. Chris Cuthbert, Craig Simpson. And then Harner Ryan Singh. That's who got the Florida-Boston series.
I don't know. So
I
hope you're right about that.
Do I have it wrong?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Harner Ryan has
New York, Carolina. Bartlett has.
See, facts are optional when you bring things up.
Yeah, well, if I were in charge, also Irfan Ghaffar, ladies
guest
and gentlemen.
Guest co-host, yeah, Irfan Ghaffar.
Camera on Irf on the couch? This is amazing. Irfan Ghaffar shouting out the correct answer. We should have that. You know, what's that show? There's a show that does that. They have a fact checker just in the room.
Arizona.
Just sitting there, and he like jumps in with,
oh,
I don't watch a lot of shows,
so.
Is it a politics show?
Yeah, well.
Isn't it Pat McAfee that I'm thinking of?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Anyways.
We need an errors and omissions segment.
I think
we have on S&T.
We should just have Irf sitting on the couch and telling us if we're wrong about stuff.
Yeah. Jay Onright has You Blew It, where they just go over all their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely should.
That'd be a long segment. Yeah. In other words, it would be Canucks conversation. Yeah. Jesse C, great take. This is the best take from anyone else today. The Kings need quads as an owner. Absolutely. Like, I would turn that ship around for sure.
Yeah, and you'd do it for free. You'd give a little small ownership stake.
That's right. Small ownership stake. I'd tell you to buy out Pierre-Luc Dubois, fire Rob Blake, let me be the GM, bring in Jim Benning.
Purple jerseys full time.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Okay. Tyson Cole. The Dubois buyout would end in 2038 if they bought him out.
Yeah, I know. I told you,
we'd
be pushing 40.
Amazing.
Can you imagine us? 38 years old. Still talking about, oh, that Dubois, dead cap money. It's still on the books.
I told you so. Oh, man. Oh, Jesse C. Quads is going to call Travis and tell him to get rid of Sanderson.
Dude, no, stop, quiet.
I like Sanderson. Okay, I do. Okay. I like Sanderson. It's just,
I was going
to
say,
the idea of me calling Travis to tell him, you got to get rid of this guy. Get this guy
no
out
more
of here.
Hamonic.
No more. Oh, is Hamonic still there? No, his contract's up.
Contract's up.
Will they re-sign him?
Travis and Travis reunion?
Travis and... No, I...
They shouldn't. Hamonic
I don't
very
think
good.
So. I don't think so. Okay. Anything else you wanted to get to? Was there anything in the chat that I missed? Oh, yeah. MMA Sucka. Do you think we'll see DeSmith at all in round two? No, I don't. I think this is Shilov's crease until Demko gets back. Take that, Irf.
Oh.
It is true. It is true. Yeah, no, I think it's Shilov's the whole way.
I hope so, because
if it's not,
that's not, that means something has gone wrong.
Something
with
has gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Sir, a second goalie has gone down. Do you know that meme?
I know that meme. Yep. Dean hypothetical. If Shilov pitches two shutouts to start the series, Demko becomes available for game three. He's not though. These hypothetical situations and hypotheticals in this user's name. I'll give you one that's more realistic, even though it sure sounds like we're not going to see Demko at all. Demko's ready for game six, but Shilov has played well in everything he's won and then kept it close in the losses. Do you go back to Demko? I say no.
No.
No. Keep resting him. If you're getting good goaltending, you're getting good goaltending. It doesn't matter who it's from.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Some of them are Oilers questions, which we'll get to a lot tomorrow. Again, folks, Bag Milk of Oilers Nation is going to join us tomorrow. Going to be a really fun episode. A massive Edmonton Oilers.
Huh? In studio tomorrow?
No, he's not in studio. They're flying out Wednesday. All the Oily boys are flying out on Wednesday. We'll be doing a remote show on Wednesday, but we'll see them on Thursday when we're back in studio. So, yeah. We'll close out there. Do I have anything else? Oh, no, I already did Bet365. Man, look at me being efficient today. Crushed it.
You're golden.
Golden. Golden. All right. We'll close it out there. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, Irfan Ghaffar, and our technical producer, Grady Taz, my name is David Cotrelli. Thank you so much for listening to the episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.